McNeil and Parkin Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
Guess who's back? Back again. Terry?
Yes!
It is.
Spit it out, you sputtering bitch.
Is this Boris?
And I'm Terry Boris. That's it. That's the spirit of it. I think it's to your right. There you
go. Turn my mic on!
Oh, I see. Okay.
I had it plugged in over here.
I thought it was going to be me who was fumbling because I'm,
You're on your different side.
Yes, I'm on a side I haven't been on since February, I think, when I filled it when David Haw and I did a show for Spiegel and Parkins. That's the last time I was over here, so I'm going to punch some wrong buttons today myself. I can promise
let's go
you
for
that.
It. That's what I'm here for.
Should we? Should we take a call as though Jigs were handling things?
Lake Bluff is next. It's Joe. Joe. Hey, Joe!
I do remember.
Joe! Put Joe on hold!
Actually, Joe's not there!
Oh, those were the days, weren't they?
Glad you're with us. Yes, they were. And we're gonna do a nice mix over the next 3 days of talking about what's going on in today's sports, of course, because the Cubs jumped into first place.
Best record in the National
over
League.
Over the weekend,
for all the panic peddling I've been reading, yep.
Well, some of that panic is deserved, and maybe not panic, but concerns have been there. It's not been a great ride. If you're a critical eye, you've had issues with this Cubs team, and it's taken them a long damn time to leapfrog the Brewers. So I understand why some
people... Now they've leapfrogged everybody.
Yes, they have.
From where you would, if you just were from a different planet, you're reading this stuff during the course of this season, you think the Cubs were in last place? You'd swear
you
to God.
You think it's been that?
Yeah, I do.
That negative?
I do. I think it's been, the expectation. I understand where the expectations are. I mean, and then Hugh Darvish catches a lot of crap for being hurt, and I wouldn't have made that signing. I wouldn't have done that anyway. So I'm not.
You would
I'm
have
not
brought Arrieta back instead, or just live life without him.
Probably lived life without him. I probably would have. I would have looked around a little more. I never was a fan. That doesn't mean he can't come back and be good. That doesn't mean that. But, I mean, just that sort of set a tone with his bad starts and then his injury and everything. That like the whole world is collapsing around. It's not. It's the Brewers in front of them. The Brewers aren't going to beat them. The Brewers aren't ready to beat them yet. So you're going to win that division.
Though, Terry, until recently, the Brewers have been very, very strong. And their bullpen has been terrific most
been
of the year. And they're scoring runs as well. Now, the Cubs' offensive numbers, as we hit the break. I hate calling it the break because it's not the break.
You're way past the break.
It's not the midway point. It's a dozen games past the midway point. They played 93 freaking games as we hit All-Star Week.
Yes, they have. I just don't think that if I look at the National League and I say to myself, who do I think is better than there? Well, really, nobody. Nobody.
No, I don't see
that. That's the thing. You kind of say, well, you couldn't get past this team, or you couldn't get past. I guarantee you, the rest of the National League doesn't look at the Cubs like we look at the Cubs. They look at it like, how the hell do we beat them?
You're probably right. I think though, what keeps most people hopeful and not hopeful, optimistic and feeling good about their chances is the experience factor. These last 3 years of going deep into the playoffs certainly have given the Cubs an advantage over teams like Milwaukee, which isn't used to this sort
Until
of
Milwaukee
thing.
Starts winning on a consistent basis and postseason series, not just playing well in the regular season and then fading away at the end or fading away in the middle, wherever they're fading now to. They get swept by the Pirates in a 5-game series. Mm. Oh, for the love of God. I mean, I just look at it and I say, and you did this with really Rizzo slumping a lot of the first half, Brian injured, not putting up Brian like numbers, and you're still with the best record in the National League.
Yeah, yep. There have been a lot of things that have gone wrong for them to be, this good, I guess, but That's what happens when you set the bar as high as people set it. You know,
well,
I guess
it should be set that high, though.
They expect set it for the themselves. Cubs to be the Yankees.
Yes. Yeah, you know? Well, I don't know if they're the Yankees, but I mean they're
or the Red Sox.
Or the Red Sox. Yeah, I'm not sure of that yet. I mean, they play to a pretty high level over there, and the Astros do too. But I mean, in terms of the National League, kind of a blah. Yeah. Kind of a
everybody mean, has blemishes in the National League.
Yes. I mean, the Cubs will be fine. What you have to worry about really is just what can you shore up before the postseason arrives? What can you do that's most important to you? What do you, when you look at this team, say, what do I need for sure to do before then and before the trade deadline? What do I need to do? And the Cubs, if they see that move, they'll make it.
What do you think they need? They don't have a lot they can part with right now. And especially if you're talking about the potential to augment the starting rotation, they've spent a lot of resources to get here.
I know.
And, you know, Tyler Chatwood, you write off for the year if you want to.
There's another one that's been bad. So, yeah. I mean, you look at it and you go, wait a minute. We're sitting here today.
Just give us four innings, kid. Here's $13 million a year. Give us four innings.
And try not to walk eight people. They will give you a Sox uniform. I mean, I think there's a certain point you reach as a team and as an organization. The Cubs are there. And I'm not sure that magic guy is available. I mean, Manny Machado's going somewhere. That he's not going to come here. He's not on the list. It's not going to, could be the Phillies, for the love of God. I mean, maybe in the National League, the makeup could change a little bit. I don't think the Phillies are better than the Cubs at this point. So, I mean, I look at it and I just sort of wait to see what they do next, whether it's bullpen help. Or there's not a lot of starting pitching available. Not a lot of it very good either.
No, James Shields could be had probably if you want him.
He's coming here today. Yeah. He's got nothing to do.
At some point, maybe we should do it very soon before I forget about it, because the team I want to talk about is very forgettable, and that's James Shields and the White Sox, because they had the big 93 weekend, the 93 reunion.
Yes, they did.
25 years ago before Cito.
And still claiming they would have won it. Yeah. All in 90. We don't want it all. Okay, yeah. Frank.
I didn't see anything. Tanny was at the ballpark over the weekend. Did Alex Fernandez show up? And does it still look like he ate Joey Cora?
It does.
I don't believe I saw old Alex, although, like I said, he is the best Latin cold weather pitcher ever. I've always said that, me and Hawk. But.
He might be, but he's gained another person since leaving.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him.
Wilson Alvarez was there.
How big is he?
About the same.
About the same.
So really?
Pretty big.
Yeah, pretty big.
Because he was kind of bowling pin shaped. Hips, didn't he?
He's got a bigger pin.
He had a big back drag wide through the hips. Roomy.
I mean, I'm sure if the White Sox had something the Cubs really wanted, they'd be more than willing to make a deal with them. But what the Cubs need, I'm not sure is really available. I'm not sure that you don't. I mean, when I look at the guys that I know are going to get moved, either A, I'm not confident in it, or B, I don't know that the Cubs are interested in them. So, I mean, I kind of look at it like, yeah, you can always do something to help your bullpen. You should always do that if you can. Keep the arms fresh, keep everything as well as you can, considering the length of the season and all the makeup games and all the other crap that's happened this season. But I don't have any National League panic whatsoever about them getting through. Even with a sometimes spotty starting pitch, I don't have that.
And sometimes
angst.
Slumpy offensively, even
slumpy
though
offensively,
you wouldn't know it to look at their numbers. They lead the National League in several important categories, like batting average, like on-base percentage, like
things
runs
like that.
Scored, things that matter.
Yeah.
But they go on these little stretches where they can't buy a run to save
gonna be
their
2-1
lives.
I know. But I think that happens to every team.
It does.
It happens to every team. And I mean, they lost last year, but they are going to be a factor for a long time to come yet in that league. Because even if you look at the Brewers and say, well, there's an up-and-coming team, maybe, but do they have the money to back it up? They say they do. They say they can make a big move if they want to. But I just don't look at them as a long-term threat when you're talking about playing that many games. I just don't. They can have their hot streaks, and there's some other teams in the National League that probably haven't lived up to what people thought they would be. The Dodgers have struggled. A lot of guys injured, not around at this point. And they've young players again. They've got another influx. So, I mean, there are other really good teams in the National League, but none close to them. They're really not. There's nobody really that close to them. I'd say, oh, man, if you get in a series with them, you're in trouble. I don't think that team exists.
Yeah, 312 texter saying, I agree the panic is blown out of proportion, but seeing the inconsistencies similar to the issues the Cubs have had in the playoffs has had me concerned. Once they get to the playoffs, they crap the bed versus good teams and beat themselves again. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about those stretches where they just can't seem to manufacture runs and nobody's hitting.
Right. I get it. Look, you've got the team that I thought was a legitimate threat to them before the season started is Washington. And they're a big pile of hoo-ha. I mean, they're just nothing. It's nothing. Bryce Harper is hitting like 218. I mean, you want $400 million for that? Yeah, I realize the power numbers are good. Good for you.
He may only get $350 million.
Yeah, maybe $350 million. They'll have to dock him. But, I mean, they don't appear to be the threat they once did because at the top of the rotation, Max Scherzer is terrific. I just look at the pitching. I say, all right, who could beat the Cubs in a big game in the National League? Who did I see in that mound? They say, hey, well, yeah, you're in trouble when that guy's pitching gets you. I mean, they beat the crap out of Kershaw.
Right.
He doesn't worry. Yeah, I mean,
that
I
was only his second start back, though, right?
Yeah, but they traditionally they've hit him. You know, it's not like when you see him, you go, oh, well, that's death for us. We can't hit. Yes, you can, and you have this team. So I just look at the starting pitching and I say, okay, who presents the most problem? Who's the guy in a short series that you don't want to see? And it would be Scherzer, but he's got no help.
Right.
So I don't – there's just not that team right – maybe I'll change my mind as the second half unfolds, or well, past the second half. And maybe as it unfolds a little bit more, there'll be somebody that just gets red hot and the pitching becomes really, really good and so forth. But right now, whether there are two games that are the best team in the National – whatever it is, they're the best team in the National League.
We need an official designation for what the rest of the season is just for these 3 days, Terry. Let's come up with something so we can decide on what to call it. It's not the second half because they've played 93 games. Why don't we call it the final 67?
Final 67.
Or would it be 87?
Works for me.
67. My math is bad. 67 games remaining, right? If they've played 93, there are 67, 69 games remaining.
They started this new thing in baseball this year. It's crazy.
162.
They're playing
games.
162 games this season.
So math major.
69 more.
62 and 7. How can we do that?
So, Burnsy's still around. Figure this out.
God.
Parkins is
advanced math. If that's advanced enough,
no. Usually, I'm pretty good with addition subtraction. Maybe Parkins is rubbing off on me.
It's advanced metric.
Yeah, we call ourselves the Ish Show because we just like to be ballpark on something. 62.
That's
games,
close enough. 68. Yeah, that's close enough.
We'll call it the final 69. That's kind of perfect, isn't it? Now, when I say final 69, do you have to give a cracky?
No. There will be one before these. I'm sure that
texters already are asking for by crack. It's got to be organic.
Exactly.
It has to be organic.
I don't work on request.
You're not a jukebox.
No.
Anytime you want to text us, listeners, you can do it at 67011. You do not have to punch in an area code. Just 67011. That gets you to us. And anytime you want to call the show, 312-644-6767 is our telephone number. This segment is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field.
Jalapenos and more. There it is. Another restaurant we put out of business. We put more restaurants out of business than bad customers.
Season and single game tickets are on sale now.
Yeah, McNeil and Borges will pump your restaurant right into oblivion.
NUSports.com for tickets. Jalapenos and more. What was the name of that joint B?
Dakotas. We put them right out of business. They were doing fine. All of a sudden, you come out and
shows there. I don't think we didn't endorse them, though. Now, the restaurant we did endorse also bellied up in Chicago, but it was I'm blaming it on location.
Oh, yeah, that's an awful location.
358 West Ontario, like right on the wrong side of the ramp to the Kennedy. People are going past you or they're stopping to get to one of many fine steakhouses before they get
to you. That is where we said goodbye to Chico.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, we had dinner with him and his wife when he was taking the job as whatever the hell he was going to do.
He was going to be a linebacker's coach.
No,
somewhere.
There was something else, wasn't there? Don't you have to do that before you become a linebacker's coach? You need to be something in football. You're the
quality control?
Yeah, maybe that's
control
something.
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
I think it was with the Eagles.
Yeah. I think that's right. We had dinner with him there. We're the only ones in there.
We should have worked harder as spokesman. Well, we should have worked.
We got VIP service, though.
Yes, we are. Yes, we did. No lines, no way. That was the restaurant that they actually asked us, and we did what we were asked to do. The food was actually very, very good there, and it was a fine room.
Yeah.
It was a nice bar. It was a nice
nicely
room.
Nicely done,
Al Watkins, pointed. Who ran the joint, was a great guy.
Mm-hmm. And we put him out of business.
One of the hooks that the restaurant was, you can cook your own steak. Now, I don't know about most people, but when I go to a restaurant,
I want
to sit on my oversized backside and relax. Back to the conversation in a minute. I wanted to cook my own ribeye. That's why I go to a restaurant, to stand over hot flames.
No, I'd stand over any hot flames, even if they're in Calgary. No. I know they offered that. And most nights, you would have had absolutely your own way if you want to go cook, because nobody else was ordering. You might as well go cook your own. So we put them out of business. They weren't the only ones that we kind of said, oh, this is the place to be. And actually, I don't feel bad because the food was fine. It's like we were sending people to hell.
Right.
We weren't.
Yeah, it was very good. The spinach parmesan, you'll love it.
But that's where we said goodbye to, Riverboat Ron.
He wasn't that when we knew him, though.
No, he was not Riverboat
Ron.
He
was just Chico.
Happy birthday, Chico.
Chico.
My guy Chico.
I'm interested in learning more about your Bears disdain.
Oh, lifelong. What we found out about football in the last five, six, whatever number of years it's been, it has been, an eye opener for me in a lot of different ways. And if you're not that big of a fan to start with, and I wasn't.
Of the league.
Yeah. I mean, not really. So when you look at it and then you add all the other stuff on, and then you have people in denial, and then people here, and they say, oh, this isn't true, and then we're going to make the helmets better, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. I mean, it just gets to be, and I don't like Roger Goodell either.
Well, that's not Bears related. Hang on, we're going to continue this. We're going to take
it's
a short time out.
Yeah.
It's the whole package for
the
you.
The whole package, yeah.
I'm eager to hear more, and we'll get to some more of your text messages. Again, keep them coming, 670-11. Parkins is gone for the week. Terry Bohr sitting in today. Again, tomorrow and Wednesday, it's Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bears games should not be painful.
Somebody just would burn that into a plaque and put that up here. So we can on the way in, we can all touch the sign. Bears games should not be painful.
Right. They should not be painful. And this was a season full of painful.
See, if you're a Bears agnostic, if you question their divinity, I would think a 3-13 season is just what the doctor ordered. I'm in a good position with the Bears. I'm happy when they do well because it's good for business.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah,
and when they do poorly, I think bad things should happen to evil people. And there are some people in the organization who I can regard as nothing other than that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I can't that's the part of it I have a hard time getting past. I don't disagree with that. I mean, I understand, and I have, that the Bears butter your bread for this, what we do. I mean, that's what we did for a number of years. We followed their every move. We were everywhere with them. That's the one team we absolutely, unless it's a championship series, and we're there. In the old days, that's what we did. We were there. The Bulls, we were there every time, damn it. But I mean,
all five. We were not on the air in 91, those of you who weren't with us. We opened our doors in 92, and with the Bulls in Portland, it's when we started our run. We hit mm-hmm. We were 5-for-5 at that point.
Yep. So it's nothing that it's probably just as much for the sport as it is for them. I just don't have.
You don't love the game, though.
No,
as
I
much
don't.
As you love
no.
baseball,
no.
And I think you like basketball.
Oh, much better.
As,
yeah,
more,
yeah,
than,
much
more
better.
Than you do. The
so
NFL.
I just being honest about it. I mean, I don't. I made no. Before I started writing the column, the Bears are the biggest story in town for most of the 80s. That's another reason the 80s, because the Bears win their only Super Bowl. How many have we played now? 52? 53?
What 52 this
52
past
of them.
Year,
you got yeah. one of them. How you doing?
Well, they went to another one.
Yeah. Okay. Barely there. But I think there's a I think it's just the people running them. I have a very a lack of taste for it. I just have a lack of interest in everything they are as people, everything they do. I just don't. And if I loved the sport, I would probably change my mind. I don't love the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a lot of sports.
See,
that's not
where I'm lucky. I don't need the Bears to be good to be fully engaged from 10 o'clock in the morning when I start watching NFL Network. And, I got all these games at noon, and then you got your 3:30 menu, and then you get an hour break to go on Twitter to check your fantasy scores before the night game. And I'll finish it up when Al and Chris wrap up Sunday Night Football in America. I mean, that's just how I am.
Yeah,
I don't care how bad the Bears are. I'm going to do the same thing every week, every year.
I found that it's really the easiest thing to sort of live without. I'm not saying I don't watch some. I do watch some. They're non-Bears related. I mean, I didn't really have much interest in this thing to this point, what they've done. I really don't pay that much attention. John Fox is another imbecile. So, I mean, I didn't, another guy who believed he was holier now and bigger than the game, and all you people are idiots and all that. I never, you keep hiring guys like that, you're going to lose me forever. I mean, that guy,
Vikings and Eagles meeting in the NFC Championship game brought two great stories, though. You had a backup quarterback in Nick Foles, and you had a $2 million afterthought signee, the quarterback Case Keenum, for the Vikings, who made a fraction of what Mike Glennon made a fraction of what Jay Cutler made last year, and was making a strong run at MVP. And I really believe that through 10 or 11 weeks, he was in the conversation.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree.
They didn't win with him. They won because of him regularly. He was a terrific player. So I thought there were good stories, and naturally I will find those.
Yeah, I know you will. And I did watch some of the NFL players. I watched the Super Bowl. I mean, I there's certain things that I do. But it's just not.
Watch the Super Bowl. There are certain things that I do.
Yeah, I watch the Super Bowl.
Put that on the billboard.
Afternoons on the score. It's not like a life's mission to watch the NFL. You know what I mean? I just don't have it in me.
When you think about it, none of them are a life's mission.
Well, I think they are. You're the Mr. NFL. I don't like, and with each passing year, I find something else that I don't like about them. You know what I mean? There's nothing much that I like about them in general. And then the team here, I've never really had it for them. I just haven't. I never. Even when I was a kid, it didn't. The Bears stuff didn't matter to me. It never interested me. I like other stuff did. I don't know why that is. And I had no interest. I mean, I just don't like them. And I don't. I mean, I think there's a whole lot of reasons.
Okay, all right, we'll get to some. We're gonna talk. We got 4 hours. We can find some things you do like.
One of them.
Yeah, this segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. We'll get some more of your text messages. You want to jump in, you're welcome to do it. 312-644-6767. It's McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670, The Score.